Death Watch.
Welcome to the Nameless Horror Call of Cthulhu 7th Edition Investigation by Death Watch Productions. Our investigators are in the small eastern Pennsylvania town of Stowell, each for their own reasons, and that's where we will rejoin them after we introduce our investigators, starting with Chris.
Hi, I'm Chris. I'm playing Oscar Herman, undercover FBI agent, hoping to do an investigation in this town because it might gain me entry into a clandestine, would that be the right word, Brandon? Yeah.
Secret society.
Secret society, of the known as the Wipers Pals, and this is kind of where they pointed me as my initiation test, and recruiting fellow people to kind of work as agents for me.
Hi, I'm Travis. I'm playing Rob. That's Rumble Rob Wolf. Right now we're heading to breakfast. I am hungry, but it just occurred to me on the way there that maybe I'm supposed to be at work soon. You know, I am a good Protestant, so great eye, great mind don't matter. Eat your eggs and get to work.
I'm John playing... oh, sorry, that was a good intro. I'm John playing Tony Reese Bates. This is a former Boston PD who was tracking down a thief and is probably gotten himself wrapped up in a little bit more than he bargained for.
Nah. Okay. So, at the end of last session, Rob and Tony attended one of Reverend Fitzgerald's sermons, and that was because when the police chief, Martin Cavanaugh, showed up at Jensen Farm where they were laying an ambush for Deputy Alexander, he did do some mutterings, and in those mutterings, they heard him mention Reverend Fitzgerald. So, Rob and Tony attended a sermon, and then met with him where they were invited to a special mass to take place at midnight. And you both got the sense that he was legitimately interested in the well-being of others and helping people grow closer to God. And after that, you went out and with Oscar, who was waiting outside, and you decided to go get some breakfast. So a block away from that Methodist Episcopal Church is Mother Baker's, which is a restaurant you've already eaten at before where you could get breakfast. So that's where that'd be the closest place, but you can go somewhere else if you'd like. There's bound to be other restaurants in town.
That's the closest one, I think, works for me.
Yeah.
Although that was a serious question. Do I have a shift at either of my jobs today?
No. No, because today is Sunday.
Oh, for some reason I felt like it was Sunday too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this place might be packed just because it's probably the go-to spot.
Yeah,
after mass,
right? It'll be pretty packed as the after church spot. But yeah, there's no work today for you.
So, do you guys want to go to one that's a little bit further away? That way, we can at least talk without all these ears about.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. What about that one? Gladys was her husband worked at something like that. Elmer.
Elmer's
Steakhouse.
That was more a dinner place, but they might have breakfast. We can go check that out. So you got to tell them that she's over at the church in the next town, anyways.
I eat a steak for dinner or breakfast.
Yeah, I would
steak
too.
And eggs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
How about steak and steak-shaped eggs or egg-shaped steak because they don't have anything else.
I don't know about all that. Two slices of toast and some black coffee is all I've ever needed for breakfast.
Okay, Elmer's Steakhouse is just a block away the other direction from Mother Baker's. It wouldn't take you long at all to walk there.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go check that out.
Okay. So when you approach Elmer's Steakhouse, just because of where you were coming from, you're approaching it from the rear of the building. And so you'll have to, you know, walk around the street to get to the front. But do everybody do a spot hidden?
Not I.
Me neither.
All right. So, yeah, you guys are walking along the street. You basically pass the street where the rear of the building is to continue on up to Main Street and then come into the front. But Oscar, as you're walking by, you just happen to look down the alleyway and you do that double take because you see something and then you look back, but then you realize that there's something off about that. So you look back and you can see there's a man back there putting, you know, throwing the, and he's dressed like he would work at a restaurant, you know, with the apron. He probably works in the kitchen, but you can see him throwing some garbage into the dumpster back there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that before the bag, you are positive you saw him throw something else into that dumpster that looked like a head.
All right. I guess I'll, you two go on ahead. I think I'm going to have myself a smoke. Enjoy the, was it early morning or late morning still? I forget what time it is.
Yeah, it's like almost noon.
Enjoy myself nice noon smoke for go and get this steak.
All right.
And I'll wait for him to, the guy who was tossing stuff in the trash to mosey on back.
Okay.
And I'll go dumpster diving.
All right. Yeah, what about the rest of you?
Go and hold the door open for Rob and go try and get a seat.
Okay.
Table for three.
All right. So you two walk in the front, and the place is pretty quiet. There's not a lot of people in there, but there is a woman there standing at a counter, and she looks up and sees you, and she's, you know, table for how many, and then she'll take you to a table there that is close to a window that looks out the front of the building, and she says, "We're not open quite yet, but if you want to order, then we'll take care of you as soon as we're open."
Oh, sorry about that. Okay.
No, it's okay. It's just a few minutes away. Oscar, so you go down that alleyway and, you know, you can see the back door of the building that's closed now and then the dumpster. And then, you know, there's some trash strewn on the asphalt out there outside the dumpster. But yeah, when you can open that dumpster and, just from looking in, you don't see anything.
Okay, let's sift some garbage around then. I'll be looking for, like, maybe just the top layer. I mean, if you just toss a head in, it's probably not going to immediately drop to the bottom.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never tossed a head into a dumpster before.
Heads float.
Yeah, you move that top bag, and there is a head staring back up at you.
Is it a human head?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll save some more. Let's see if there's any other parts in here.
As I don't know that all my notes had saved in here from last time. What was the name of the woman that I had taken to that next town over? And Gladys, what was her? Is it Gladys?
Yeah, Gladys McDermott was her name.
And this should be her husband's steakhouse, right?
Yeah, she did say that he manages Elmer's Steakhouse.
Okay, and he manages. So, yeah, like, Rob's right on it, doing good old detective work here.
Just because I hear it twice instead of just once, I get an advantage.
The punch drunk detective or something, some sort of pulp running through my head right. Like that. Be careful when you hear the bell ring because he'll start swinging.
Anything sounds like a bell, huh? Just start giving the old one to.
Gotta keep away from those San Francisco
Jeb
trolleys.
Cross.
Yeah, so I'll sift some more layers of this trash, see if there's any other parts or if it's just one head. If they just
okay, yeah. So there's not a lot in there, thankfully. So you start moving some trash around, but it's pretty clear. It's clear pretty quickly that there's just the head there. There's not other body parts.
Hmm. I'm going to end up shooting this whole town, ain't I, Brandon?
Okay. I feel like I'm going to be eating a people steak.
We'll see.
Well, we don't have any proof that they're...
That's just what my brain leapt to.
I'll head over to that back entrance like quietly kind of test the handle.
So this back door doesn't have a handle on the outside. It's the kind that, you know, usually if you're coming out, you got to prop it open.
Well, man, I think it's kind of rude to leave my partners sitting in a restaurant if I go start committing crimes in Sid restaurant. So I think I'll go over to the front and find them, take my seat with them.
All right. So you start walking away, and just as you do, that door opens and you see a man come out back. He's backing out of the door, and he's holding a body, you know, dragging a man's body with his arms hooked under. Yeah. He comes dragging this guy out the door, angling towards that dumpster.
Can I try to dip and hide somewhere?
Yeah, you can try.
Am I in danger of being seen by him?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, let's see if I can get out of sight.
Yeah, right now his attention is focused on the dumpster he's going towards, so he hasn't looked your way, but...
I'm the wind. If he gets a critical on his damn spot hitting, I'm putting two rounds in his skull, one for each eye.
That's why I don't do the opposed ones with my NPCs. Yeah. I just... Like, if they have less than 50, you just need a regular success. If it's high or hard, if it's like 90 plus extreme. Because I know I'll just roll out those keeper level rolls and have my little mook see you.
Yeah, so you're able to duck around. There's like a alcove to the door to another building or whatever.
Okay, and I'll draw my gun just in case.
Okay.
And I'll just wait for him to hopefully dump the body in the dumpster is what I'm figuring he's here to do. Then we'll go take another look.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's exactly what he does. So he opens that dumpster and he hauls that body up, and it's sort of a feat of strength to watch, because he's smaller than his victim, but he easily hoists him up and tosses him into that dumpster and closes the lid of the dumpster. Then he goes back inside.
All right. Let's go check on the rest of the corpse. Hopefully. Is it missing its head?
Yeah.
Okay. Just make sure we don't got two on our hands.
Yeah. Well, so it's pretty evident that the head belongs to the body just based off the way the cuts were done.
Well, I was imagining it like he took the head and the body and he's like, it's a match.
You have to rotate it to the exact right. Cuts line up.
Blood.
I always like doing that. Blood. Son of a bitch.
So about this time is when that the hostess comes back to take your order, Rob and Tony.
What do you want, Mr. Spate?
I'll just take, I don't know, what do they have? Probably multiple different cuts.
They just have steaks.
Pick one that's the hardest to be gotten from a human.
Steak and eggs.
Yeah, I'll take T-bone with some over easy eggs, toast, and a coffee. Might as well treat myself if this is maybe the last day I'm in my right mind.
Okay.
My mind goes to like a cheap cut or something like that. So. Yeah.
Like a cowboy steak or something.
Yeah, I'll just go like get down to the bottom of the menu.
I'll tell them that I'm buying. This one's on me.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Feel free to treat yourself.
I'll take two of those.
Yeah, I was going to say, go nice. One lineup.
And three eggs over easy.
For each.
Three eggs for each and two pieces of toast with some butter, please.
Yeah.
And coffee black. We'll need another one of those for our friend. He's coming in.
Okay. Yes, she takes your order and then bounces off. And then what would you like?
Can I ask her if the manager is in yet?
Yeah, he is. I can
get him
for you.
No, just a pen and a paper, please.
Okay. Yeah, she can bring you a pen and a paper.
Or a pencil and a paper. One of those two things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. And then I'll ask her what
the plan is. I'm going to be writing a note to him because, I mean, I don't know what involvement he's got in this, but I don't want to play our hand too early, but I'll write a note that says the town name, church name, and that you can pick up your missus there.
Okay.
I'll check this body, see if there's any sort of identification
Okay. Well, so in the pocket, there's not. There's some cash.
Come on. I'll take it.
Pocket knife, but there's no identification.
All right. And, like, is he, is it in, like, street clothes?
No.
Or is it in, like, Elmer's, like, uniform?
Yeah, this, it looks like uniform for the restaurant.
All right.
Name like, tag? Actually looks more like the uniform of the person who would be in charge of a restaurant.
Mm. Any name tag or no? Because he's in charge.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'll hop down and I'll head down in.
Okay.
Because I'm starting to get the sinking suspicion that questioning a lot of these folk might not work. Mm. But I'm also getting the sinking suspicion that I might take a liking to it regardless.
Okay.
So let's not just start the questioning just yet. Don't need a shootout in the middle of town.
All right. So you're looking through the pockets of the corpse. You don't find anything or any identification. So you go back inside the front there and you can see your friends sitting at a table, otherwise empty restaurant, but with Tony scribbling something on a piece of paper.
All right. Yeah, I'll walk up. I'll look over his shoulder. If his back's to me, see what he's writing.
Oh, you can try a spot hidden if you'd like.
Mm-hmm. Of course I'm rolling good. It's a bunch of inconsequential. Yeah. Rolling.
Exactly what I was about to say.
Yeah. So as you move up to the table and go to sit down and you take a peek at what he's writing there, you can see that he's writing like the name of that town and the church that he told you guys he dropped Gladys off at.
I'll tell him that we ordered you a coffee, but you'll want to give her your order when she comes back.
Oh, thank you, guys. You might want to hold off on that note there, Tony.
I'll stop writing and look up just questioningly. What do you mean?
Yeah, we got a corpse in the dumpster outside. They were dragging the body out, or there was a guy dragging the body out when you two were walking by, or the head. But I think it might be the... Yeah, it seems higher up the food chain than just a common laborer here. Think it might be Elmer. Or not Elmer, but what was her husband's name? Did she not say just that he was a man?
Yeah, she didn't say.
Yeah, she said Arnold.
I think it might be Gladys's husband that we're out there in that dumpster.
I'll sigh, so just... and then
again.
Fold the paper up and put it in my pocket.
Might want to switch it to a request or something. Come for him to come see us.
Yeah, as I'll grab a start another sheet, just that we're staying at Miss Petunia's place, on so and so street, and at your earliest convenience, I'd like to ask you about a possible temporary or walk-in hire, Fiendlix. As in regards to some stolen property.
Okay. Do you write that down on that paper?
Yeah, I'm going to write that down, and I'll write my name on there as well. And then when the waitress comes back after the order, or after Oscar gives his order, then I'll give that to her and ask her if she would kindly make sure that the manager receives this.
Okay.
Give her 25 cents as well.
Big tipper.
Yeah.
T-bone, two eggs over easy, and some hash browns. Coffee black. Second cup.
Okay.
Thanks, darling.
All right. So, yeah, she takes that piece of paper from you, Tony, and then she goes back into the kitchen, and then your food comes out not long after, and then...
I won't touch the steak.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's a good...
You said you saw somebody throwing something away and it turned out to be a body, or you just had a suspicion and when started looking?
As we were walking by, I saw the guy toss the head in the dumpster. Figured I'd stick around, make sure I wasn't seeing things.
All right. Yeah. I'll order a couple more eggs and a couple more toast, and, I'll cut up some of the steak. While she's gone, but I'm not going to eat any of it.
Put it in a handkerchief in your pocket?
Or just like under the table if it's got tablecloth. I mean,
no reason not to eat the steak.
Yeah, the cannibalism will enter Rob's mind, and the way he eats is when he has the opportunity. So he'll go long stretches, you know. And now's his opportunity since Mrs. Ellis's sandwich from the day before.
Yeah.
So like I'm tearing into that steak when I see you guys leaving yours cold, I'm like, you gonna eat that, Mr. Herman?
No. Have at it, Robbie.
Yeah, I'll,
oh man, this is a bit better than I'm used to, thank
you. I'll offer you mine too if you want it.
And I'll eat it all. Like
yeah.
You ever hear nice. About the Wendigo?
No, I can't say I have. What's that one, Mr. Herman?
It's a person who cannibalizes another human, gets a craving for it, comes ravenous, comes a human consuming demon. It's old tribal legends.
Wow. Well,
kind of a dark subject to bring up at breakfast.
Yeah, I don't know quite what to say to that, Mr. Herman. Interesting story, though.
Mm-hmm. Just thought it'd be interesting for you.
Why is it so good? So, do you, I guess, down to business, right? We've got the opportunity to join one of these masses later tonight. As nothing happened while we were in the main one. You know, I had broached the idea last time of, or earlier this today, of bringing, just trying to grab Alexander at the station, or even when he comes out. Do you want to try that, or do you think we should attend this mass and possibly lose all conscious thought?
I don't know. I'm kind of two minds on it. I do think that we should probably investigate the Methodist Church midnight mass. Nothing suspicious about that whatsoever. but if we do, I think we should go about it smart. Maybe only send one or two of you in while the others kind of sit on the outskirts, ready to come on in. As for Alexander, I'm not quite sure if I'm ready to risk a middle-of-town shootout just yet. Before we have a chance to fully investigate, if we play our hand too early, whatever is the driving force behind this, these oddities could go to ground.
So, if we do, I would say one person go in, as that way there's two to subdue if needed.
I'll pause while bringing a piece of steak to my mouth, and my eyes will dart back and forth between Mr. Herman and Mr. Spates, and I'll be like, hey, look, I'll do it. I don't see y'all have too much problem punching my way out of a bunch of church-going folk. You got any idea on how they might be, you know, making people funny, though, so I know what to look out for?
And my first thought turns to, like, hypnotism, right? As the power of suggestion or spirits. Possession. Yes. As, and can I recall some story or some legend that I had heard while working with, I forgot what her name is, hold on, Elisa, that she had told about possessions, and I'll share that story with the group.
Yeah, roll your occult.
No.
You don't recall a specific story, but you know, you're able to say, yeah, I've heard stories about possessions. Sometimes spirits can possess people if they're not careful, blah, blah, blah. But you can't recall like a specific case where it happened.
Yeah, like, basically don't volunteer for any like if they're asking for someone who wants to, under the guise of like wants to be saved or ready to speak with God or something, don't volunteer yourself. Just watch. Because I don't know that you can affect that many people at once. So that's probably how I'm thinking it's done.
You know, I think I'll be all right. It's kind of hard to get a good idea in this head of mine, much less a bad one. So
yeah, don't sell yourself short, Robbie. You got a good head on your shoulders.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Herman.
All right, so me and Tony will be outside the church. Probably I'll be creeping around. Anything goes sideways, I don't know. Give a good old shout.
All right.
If it's not obvious.
We got a while to go. Do we want to go try and question the guy that we picked up and the sheriff about what happens in the church? We try and get a little more info?
I think we already tried the sheriff. I'm not quite sure if I remember. completely.
Yeah, he kind of shut down at the end.
Yeah, it started trailing off, going on about the whatever outer god it is they're worshiping.
Maybe use those tough talk tactics that you did on the other guy.
There's 3 feet still need to be shot in there.
And a couple kneecaps.
Yes.
Well, I'm not opposed to it, but at the end of the day, I don't think this sheriff is in his right mind at all. And he definitely wasn't partaking in the brutality that the other boys at the Jensen farm were.
I'll look around as well. You said we're the only ones in here?
Yeah.
And we've only seen the waitress and then whoever was throwing out the stuff in the back. Okay.
Yeah. As Rob's finishing like the rest of the food that is on the plates and you guys are having this conversation, that's when you see a man approaching dressed in a cook's uniform. And
is he armed?
No.
Okay.
I mean,
not that I can see.
Right. I mean, he doesn't have anything in his hands except for the paper.
Okay.
And you recognize him as the person who was throwing the body away.
Hmm.
But he comes up to your table, and then as soon as you all get a look at him, you can see that familiar look like you saw on the chief and on your other prisoner, like that they're not totally with it, so to say. They'd be considered slow. But he stands there. He comes up to the table, and he stands there, and he says, "I'm the manager. What's this about?" And he holds up that paper that you wrote, the note.
Yeah, I'll stand up and extend my hand, tell him that my name is Tony Spates, as I'm looking for a fella who may have come through this town, as unsure, but it goes by the name of Felix Tarame, I believe what we had, what it was. But give him just a general description of the guy, and say him. He may have come in here seeking employment as a dishwasher or a table cleaner or something like that, as maybe even a cook. But he had stolen a book from my employer, and I've been trying to track him down this way, trying to get this book back. As if you have seen him or if he stopped in, as I'd appreciate any information. So there is a reward for his apprehension. Or the return of the book.
Okay, so he listens to you, and you can see on his face he's got this sort of glazed over look. But you can tell when you give the short description that he recognizes who you're talking about. And so when you finish, he gets this like agonizingly slow grin starts appearing on his face. He sort of like sways back and forth a little bit. When the smile's fully overtaken his face, he says, I know the man you're talking about, but
I'll start reaching for my gun,
but you're not going to be able to talk to him now. And then he starts laughing. So everybody do like a spot hit, not Tony, Rob and Oscar do a spot hidden.
Ooh, I got it this time. Hard success.
Nice.
All right. So Rob and Tony, Oscar, where you're seated at the table gives you a better view. But Tony's sort of like dead on with the guy. But so Rob, when he's doing that swaying forward, you happen to be able to see behind him, like where his apron is tied. You can catch a flash of blonde hair. And so when you lean out a bit, you can see that he's taken that waitress's head that had took your order and tied her hair into like the back of his apron so he could cart it around.
He's going straight up. Oh man, what Hyborian,
right?
And Oscar, you see that he's in his like apron pocket, those big apron pockets. He's got a meat cleaver in there. Not that he's reaching for it, but he does have one there.
Yeah.
But Tony, that's what he says. He's like, "You're not going to be able to talk to him now."
All right.
Let's see if
instincts are gonna take over on creepy people I've dealt with back on my beat, and I am gonna punch him.
Oh yeah, the second Tony,
subdue him.
Is my skill high enough to see Tony like wind up?
Yeah. What's your brawl?
I think it's like 60 something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably. Yeah, I wasn't going punch, but I was up by what I saw. Did a little self-power check there to see if I'd keep any composure. So I'm like, but I'm like, yo, what's the big idea? Something like that.
That said, your brawl's like way higher than mine. You might see Tony wind up first.
And oh, right. Yeah.
Just kind of shut off.
Start punching.
Punch.
But yeah, once I see Tony start winding up, and this guy was already giving me the kind of the heebie-jeebies, I'll jump up out of my chair and start to join in on this beatdown.
Yeah, it's, I got a success. Sorry, I didn't see you'd put him on the combat tracker.
Yeah, let me put it on there. Okay.
Do you want me to roll that again?
No, that's okay.
Okay.
Is it Arnold we're fighting?
Yeah.
Bam. Target him. You've been targeted.
Target acquired. Punch.
Okay, so Tony, you take a swing at him, but he just moves unnaturally fast and dodges your swing. I mean, just barely. It's, you know, moves his head out of the way. It's a good slip, like you notice as you're watching that, but that brings it to his move. And so for him, he pulls out that meat cleaver, you know, swing at you with that, Tony.
Dodge, dodge, dodge.
Technically, we swung first, but that's escalation right there. I'm in my rights to shoot him now.
Yeah. Well, I saw a head, so I'm like, what the? He saw the cleaver, so punching seems right.
Can you push a dodge?
I don't think you can push the combat rules, if I'm not mistaken. Right.
No, but here, let me.
It's just a cleaver.
Yeah.
It's just going to impale.
All right, so let me get this.
I was formulating my finding the distance as a boxer when I set up. Doing like a fighting maneuver first, where you're just throwing out a few jabs to get like a bonus on the next attack. Basically, the take aim for firearms. But for that one, I was reading a lot about boxing, trying to figure out how to adjudicate the techniques.
Mm. All right.
But yeah, because they'll kind of be like, doot, doot, doot. And when they got a good feel for it, that's when the cross comes out. You know, get all their power in it.
Yeah, combat rolls can't be pushed. So you tried to dodge, is that what you did?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so he swings at you with this meat cleaver and thunks into you. Let me get the damage here.
What martial arts did they teach in World War One? Like what type of brawling would I be doing?
Bayonet charge. I imagine you get like...
And they would have had some, I don't know if there's necessarily a named technique for it, but you'd have some hand-to-hand.
Boxing, wrestling.
Yeah, boxing, wrestling probably.
They would have taught you how to kill a person with your helmet, with your canteen, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, with your shovel. Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know if they had the formalized one back
then. Oh, I was just using it in the broadest sense of combat.
But I imagine, I don't know what his background was, but they were probably doing a whole lot more just regular wrestling coming up than your average kid these days.
Americans began to experiment teaching jiu-jitsu to their fighting men around 1916.
Oh, wow. you'll get them in the room naked?
Well, experimenting, so who knows how well it would be executed.
Well, it would have been Brazilian jiu-jitsu, probably. This would have been the old...
Well, yeah, like Japanese or whatever. Or is that judo? I can't remember.
They did both, I believe.
Yeah.
I think they have done a lot of the effective ones.
All right. So then.
But Western boxing and wrestling was the big ones. So I'm basically.
All right. So Jack Tony, Chan. This knife, this cleaver thunks into like, you know, up near your collarbone and does 2 damage to you.
Oh, okay. Good old American, like wool woven suits.
Yeah. But he does that. And it's funny because, like, he had dodged Tony's punch and it seemed like he's, well, this guy, he knows how to fight. But then he did this swing and it's like there's some unnatural thing that took place that you're not able to put your finger on. But it seemed like he somehow managed to attack with the knife without any other part of his whole body moving. So it looks unnatural how his arm does.
Right.
But it thunks into Tony, and then he's got this smile and a surprised look on his face. And he's like, right? Just laughing like a maniac.
He's a loony.
But that'll bring us to Rob, your turn. Yeah, so you see he's got this great big meat cleaver stuck into Tony.
That's not regulation.
You're the same Marcus of Queensberry. Yeah, I want to get that weapon out of his hand. So my goal here is to disarm him.
You're going to do a maneuver?
Yes. My build is, it's in the main one, right? A one.
Okay, so you've got a higher build.
Okay, and then I'll do fighting brawl.
Oh.
Extreme success.
You literally should've just punched his arm off.
So I get, let's see.
So yeah, I think you get the difference in build as a penalty to their fighting back roll.
Penalty die.
And with teaming up, we have to declare that we're attempting to penalize.
Just start getting more and more penalties as he defends.
I was just wondering if...
Yeah, so you guys have... Yeah, you would have... What is that? What do they call that?
Bonus die or...
Outnumbered.
Oh,
yeah.
So yeah, it's like his first defense will be at the normal, and then the second one would have a penalty to it, and the third one would have a...
Yeah, so he already did dodge.
So I guess it would be double penalty?
No, he receives... Yeah.
If he's a build zero anyway?
Or no, he doesn't get the penalty. You get a bonus.
Oh, for the attack?
Everybody gets a bonus after he's done it. But we'll just do a second penalty die for this since you already rolled.
I couldn't beat a three anyways, even with the bonus.
You say that now.
Somehow my ones
would. But there's always a one.
Yeah, so you know he'll try to fight back against you.
Yeah.
He failed. You got an extreme success. And so what you were trying to do is to... Take the knife away from him?
Yeah, I'm going to take it and chuck it like across the room just so it's not a factor anymore because I'm not much for cleavering people.
Dude, just knock the cleaver out. I think you could have done it with that roll. goes limp.
Little Tweety Bird above it. That's it for me, though. Let's get that away from him.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's swinging that thing, but you just grab it and throw it across the restaurant and you can hear... glass breaking over by the bar somewhere. That will bring us to Oscar.
I'll stand up and I'll start swinging at his noggin. Throw some old rights and lefts here.
All right, so you'll get a bonus die to that for teaming up.
All right.
So he's outnumbered, so all attacks on him receive a bonus die.
Here we go. So 32.
Okay, so he will fight back. But he failed. So you are successful there.
All right.
So he's trying to counter swing at you, but your fist makes contact. Go ahead and do damage.
Oh.
Yeah. So you get him a good clip, but he's still standing. And Tony, that brings us to you now. So you can already feel some blood starting to pour down, but the knife is gone now. So.
All right. Well, now it's personal. I mean, it's adrenaline's pumping. I'm going to start trying to take
join
him
in
out.
On this brawl.
You try to cleaver me?
I'm going to bust you up. Nobody try cleavering me.
You must not be from around here.
I'm Tony Spates. Spates.
Mrs. Stoll.
Did you roll with your bonus die?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah, you get a bonus die.
So,
what did you get?
86 and 39.
Okay.
Sometimes it's that point you need.
So he will, he got a better success than you.
Uh-huh.
That darn.
So yeah, you take a swing at him and he swings at you with his fist and he says, "My mama taught me that."
I like to think that his unnatural movement is what's playing into this. Like,
it is.
I like to think I got a better hit on him, but it was almost like punching like jellyfish or something like that.
Yeah, I'm looking at like the shoulders and the waist,
and
looking
it's not
for
waiting.
The lead up, and there's nothing there. Yeah,
this guy, who taught him? Where did he learn?
Yeah, so this one takes you right in the mouth, Tony, and you can feel blood as your lips. Rip on your teeth, two more damage from him.
let's round up a couple of these guys and start an underground fight club with them.
Oh, Cthulhu Pokemon.
I choose you.
So that was your move. And then now it's his. And so he's still laughing and he says, "You'll never talk to him now." And he turns and runs back into the kitchen.
Oh,
that'll be his move. And then, Rob, that brings us to you.
Yeah, I'm going to chase after him.
Yeah, what is your move?
Eight is my move rate.
All right. So yeah, you go chasing after him.
Is there anything we can do before he actually breaks out of the fight? Or well, is that just how, is he just gone? Is that how this works? Like in game? Not, yeah. Or not in game, but in engine.
I can say I looked for it a lot, but I couldn't find anything. And I had a light bulb go off for probably why you can just run away and then it goes into a chase.
Because
it's friendly to the investigators and okay. Like they're just not going to nab you.
All right, makes sense.
But I think you could, they're still readying for something too. So in that case, if you had been waiting for them to split, you could take your action when they do it.
All right.
But it still might be there. I have been through that rule book quite a few times. But you know, my head still gets mixed up sometimes. D&D rules come in, Shadowrun.
Okay. So you give chase, Rob?
Yes.
And you can catch up to him about when he reaches the bar.
Yeah, if I catch up to him, I want to tackle him.
Okay. So another maneuver.
Yeah.
All right, so you don't get the bonus die because he's not outnumbered right now.
Right.
He hasn't. Well, yes, you do, because he did fight back in this round.
Okay. So one bonus die.
All
right, just dive at his back there. Looks like I got an extreme success again.
Yeah, and he gets a penalty die on top of that to try and dodge.
Hopefully he fumbles. That way it can be those brilliant scenes where his head
hits
slams
the bar.
Into a bar.
He didn't fumble, but he almost did.
Dang.
He almost did. But anyway, so you dive and tackle him to the ground there.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Oscar.
So the guy's been tackled?
Yeah, Rob's tackled him over by the bar.
Okay. I'll go over and I'll assist Rob in like subduing him, get his arm in a lock or something.
Okay.
Help pin him or something.
Yeah. So it's a maneuver and you get a bonus die. Yeah, probably actually you get more than one.
All right, so two bonus die?
Yeah.
No, those are horrible rolls.
And he gets a penalty. Yeah, so he failed.
All right.
All right, so you're trying to pin him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do I see that he's got a head strapped to his damn apron?
Yeah. Yeah, you do. It's the waitress that had taken your order.
You're going to burn for this.
All right, and then...
How does it feel to hold on to him, is it? Is there anything on about that? Like no. Some unnatural strength? Okay.
No. I mean, he does seem stronger than he looks like he ought to be because he's like past middle age. You
but
know?
It's not outside like the human limit.
No, like unnatural bones or a roiling kind of movement under the skin.
Nope, nothing like that.
When you were describing earlier that I was going to see something behind his apron, I was fully expecting the pseudopod limb back there at first. Head was pretty cool too, though. Too bad you didn't extreme impale one of us with that cleaver. We could have played out.
Man, how do you impale someone with a cleaver?
I don't know. It's
just the damage type.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, it could have been the boot scene from that one story.
I wonder if you could rip the rules from RuneQuest because they have three different types of special.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, probably you could. I think if they just used a different term for it than impale, it would probably fix how we think about it.
All right, so
Cthulhu. I think it works for a majority of the weapons, though. Sorry, Brandon.
When in a maneuver like you did allows you to, that has the one of the following effects here. So you could disarm an opponent or take something away from them or place the enemy at an ongoing disadvantage. Either inflicting one penalty die on their future actions or granting one bonus die to allies' actions taken against the target, whichever seems most appropriate to me, that disadvantage would be the result of a physical restraint being pinned by you. So we'll say that now everybody gets a bonus die against him while you've got him pinned there.
Okay.
And then you could also use it to escape when physically restrained. What he'll try to do on his next turn, which is not yet. It's actually Oscar's. You went over and pinned. It's Tony's turn.
Mm-hmm.
So Tony.
If he runs away, it seems like they've got him. As I'm going to sit back down and grab a clean napkin or if they got those cloths and try and staunch the bleeding in my shoulder.
Okay.
How old are you?
I don't know.
I was just going to say that. You know, let the younger kids do with all the fighting. Don't like waking up with your teeth all loose.
No,
I don't imagine that old. Yeah, probably in my 20s. I don't know if I would have hit 30 yet, but I mean, I just did get cleavered in the collarbone, so.
It's barely a scratch.
Well, you're 35 years old, Tony.
Yeah, as 35, 25, and cleaver's a cleaver here.
Okay, so yeah, you're going to, well, I guess really what you're attempting is first aid.
He's got you there, Tony.
Do you have first aid, Tony?
Well, I'm not trying to bind it. I just pressing a cloth to it. Yeah, because I'm gonna wait. I'll wait till. I mean, I saw what Oscar did stitching that other guy up, so I'll wait till he's free of this business.
Okay. All right. So you sit down there and you're trying to stop the bleeding, which is not all that bad right now, but luckily you're not feeling the pain of it yet either. But that'll bring us to his turn, and he's laughing. Then he does that thing where he's like, he seems like he's not doing anything. And then with like a real violent jerks, he tries to escape from this, but he's got, well, he doesn't have penalty die. So you two would both get a bonus die against, well, no, because it would be, all right. So here's what's happening then. Oscar, you've got him pinned, and he's going to try and break out of your pin.
All right.
So you get a bonus die against him. And, you rolled way better than him. So he doesn't break out of it.
Uncle Sam taught me this. You're not getting away.
All right, Rob.
Yeah, I'll kneel down there and start delivering some shots to the liver.
So
I can wise him up a little bit.
Okay.
So yeah, we'll just go all in. Do I get a bonus on this one?
You do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get extreme success. Is it automatically gonna do the damage right?
It should. Know? Yeah. Okay.
All right. So here's the damage. Yeah. On that shot, big seven. Best I can do.
You need the you need to know the names of the nerve clusters.
Right.
this is your loop. You know, it's gonna really hurt.
Yeah, no matter how tough you are, this is gonna shut you down. It happened to me. It's happening to you right now.
All right, and then Oscar.
I'll maintain the pin. Do I got to do that?
Nope.
Can I do damage in the pin?
Let me check to make sure. I think so. With the maneuver.
So
you would just be like a regular attack.
Okay.
Yeah. But you'd get your bonus.
All right. So yeah, I'll attempt to add pain compliance to this and start, I don't know, twisting that arm or choking down on his neck if I got him in a headlock. I don't know quite how I'm pinning him. So here we go. 39.
Okay. All right.
Damage time?
Yep.
There's just something so slick about him. I can't quite get a good...
You got that D6 damage bonus, though. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right? Isn't that what you...
No, it's D3.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why it was a D6. I think that's the best you can get as a human is a D6 damage bonus if you do your stats right.
Yeah. No, I think I'm scrawny. Mm.
All right. So that essentially puts him out.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess I had him by the neck, and I'll just crank down on good old artery and...
Put him to sleep, yeah. Yeah, he laughs a little bit, but then he just, passes out.
I'll contemplate holding it.
Yeah, you could kill him if you wanted to.
That's what it's like about somebody who doesn't... To fight somebody who doesn't care about pain, that was something else, Mr. Herman.
I'll... when Robbie starts talking, I'll kind of... I'll let up.
Okay.
Yeah, Robbie. Let's see if we can get him tied up, and I'll go see to Tony, make sure he ain't bleeding out on us.
Was it just the waitress that he beheaded that was here besides him?
It, like, nobody else has come out.
Yeah, I'll start looking around for some other people, see if we can keep him from leaving real quick. And maybe this won't cause the shootout in the middle of the town we've been worried about for a while.
Okay. So, Oscar's choked out your foe here in the restaurant, and Rob, you're going to look for other people to stop him from leaving?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. I'll see if I can take a belt off this chef or something.
Yeah.
And bind some hands and feet real quick. Because I'm guessing both me, or like I'm guessing all my me and my companions know you don't stay choked out for long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unless something's seriously wrong.
Right.
Yeah, you can definitely get him bound there. And then, Rob, you go back into a really good-sized kitchen, and you don't see anybody in there. There is an office down at the end of the building with a closed door.
Well, check it.
And in there, there's nobody, but there is a massive pool of blood.
Yeah, probably where he did for that guy or the waitress, maybe.
Well, probably both, because it's more blood than you'd expect to see.
Oh, no. We got her killed.
Did we? Because of the note?
Yeah, because she went back to give the note to the manager.
When we tried to do good.
She was probably dead anyway. It was just that we probably expedited it.
Yeah. Well, I'll come back out after I don't see anybody. And I'm like, there's nobody else here that or they left already. So, and if he's still busy tying up the fella, I'll go take a look at Mr. Spates and his wound. I won't do anything yet, but I'll say, maybe you want to have Mr. Herman take a look at that. I can do a little, but just what I learned boxing.
I'll go start by cutting your eye.
Right. Yeah, I'll see, it's probably we'll put some a petroleum good idea. Up here.
just put some petroleum on.
Yeah.
Couple quick smacks. There you go.
As once that guy's secured, then we can, if you want to ask him to come out and take a look.
I think we're still in the same area, just over by the bar. So yeah, after I'm done securing him, I'll head on over to Tony.
Okay.
So are you bleeding out, Tony?
Nah, but if you wouldn't mind trying to stitch it up all the same.
All right. I'll take a look at it.
Okay.
You want a first aid roll or?
Yeah, you can attempt it within the first hour to give him some hit points back.
All right. So 51 under 70.
Okay.
Was it a horribly serrated cleaver and it required a hard success or more?
No.
Okay.
No. But he'll regain one hit point there.
About the best I can do here in this restaurant. So you didn't find anyone, Robbie?
No, I didn't see signs of anybody either. Just where he did for the waitress back in the office.
All right. I'll go over and to the door. And if the sign's flip to open, I'll flip it to closed.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
All right, let's drag him out of sight.
But you know, that was kind of a big meal we got. Trying to figure out how that got prepared with just the two of them. How long did we wait? Did that make sense? For him and just the waitress being
here?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other customers, so.
Well, I retract what I said, that I wasn't certain on the time frame.
I got hit in the head a lot. I get a little confused.
Is it a.m. or p.m.? I don't know. I'm never certain.
Only one thing I know for certain, that hit the liver really hurts.
It'll shut you down no matter who you are.
It happens to me. It'll happen to you.
Yeah, so I'll flip the open sign to closed.
Okay.
If it was set to open, and then I'll...
All right, help me drag this body into the back. We'll see if he gives us any answers.
I went into pseudo-Rob there.
All right, I'll grab his whatever Mr. Herman doesn't get.
Okay. Feet. You're taking him back in the kitchen?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll work.
And then, Tony, where are you doing?
I'll follow him.
All right.
After we set him down there, if he ain't like showing signs of immediately waking up, I might go... Just in case, check the freezer.
Okay. Yeah, so there's nothing worrisome in the freezer.
Okay. If there was, I wasn't going to tell Rob, but keep him out of the freezer would probably be on top of the list. Yeah, all right. So after I'm done kind of checking around the kitchen, is he still sleeping?
Yeah, but, you know, you could wake him up if you wanted.
All right. Tony, you feeling up for some investigating?
Yeah, so I think I got a bit in me here.
All right. You said there was an office, Robbie?
Yeah. All right. Mess of blood.
First, I'm going to go. Let me go take a look in the back as I want to check the body that's in the dumpster because of what he said and see if this is the guy that I was looking for.
All righty. I think I'll head off to the office. You okay keeping an eye on this guy, Robbie?
Yeah.
All right. If he wakes up, give a shout.
Will do.
Okay. Tony. So you go back outside, you go outside to the back of the building and you look in that dumpster and there's that body in there and then the head. And that definitely matches the description you were given from your employer.
All right. So I'm not aware that he searched him earlier, but I'll go through and search the body as well for that book.
Okay. Yeah. And you don't find anything.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll come back in and let them know if they're in the same room that that was who I was looking for, but he doesn't have the book that I was looking for. I want to search the cook as well.
Okay. So on him, you find an ID that marks him as Arnold McDermott, and he's got some cash and what have you, but he doesn't have that book either.
Okay. As maybe we'll find something in the office that'll help that part along, but I'll have to write a letter out to the church to let that priest know that her husband won't be coming to pick her up, most likely. I'll head into the office if that's where we want to start.
Okay. Yeah, so it's a small office, and it's got, you know, just a small desk and then, you know, file cabinet and whatever. But there's blood all over the whole floor. Do a spot hidden in there.
Are we all going to fit in there, or is it just going to have to...
Like, those two could.
Okay.
But not three of you.
Yeah, well, I'll see that, and I'll keep an eye out.
Yeah, so Tony, you take a look in there, and you're not seeing anything interesting, but Oscar, you do spot something on the floor underneath the desk.
Okay.
And when you lean down to look in there, you can see there's like a small book, like the kind, like the size of like a pocket Bible.
Okay.
Back on the floor there.
I picked it up. I'll give it a quick flip.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you can pick it up and then you flip through and you don't, there's nothing in it. It's like every page is empty.
Tony, have you gone on about what this book is, or just that you're looking for a book?
Not what it is. Right. I just gave him the explanation while we were out at the table that there was a book that was stolen.
Guy must have been a wackadoo through and through. That or he just bought himself a new journal.
I'll take a look over at what he's got. What does it look like?
Yeah, it's just a small black book with nothing on the cover and no writing in the pages, which is what was described to you.
Yeah, so it black and red?
Yeah.
Okay, as all, say...
Gonna draw your gun?
No, as I'll say, that looks like what I'm looking for. And they said that there wouldn't be anything on it or in it. As I'm not sure exactly why it's so important, but
yeah,
that looks to be the one.
I'll kind of toss it to him.
Okay.
Your boss needs to pay you extra hazard pay.
Yeah, I would definitely say so. This is supposed to be a pretty easy gig here, just going, finding this guy and recovering a book. Didn't expect to end up in a town where they're murdering everybody and then, you know, attempt to get murdered myself at breakfast.
I think they're doing worse than murdering people here. All right, let's go see if our friend's awoke.
He's not, maybe we can wake him ourselves.
You go right ahead, Tony. I ain't going to stop you.
So you get back to him and he is starting to stir. It takes him a bit, but he looks around and then he's got that look on his face again, like he's not really there. And he, you know, he's even drooling. His face is a little bloody, but you can see that he's just sort of, you know, slowly swaying back and forth. He's sitting up and sort of staring off into space.
Don't worry, buddy. You're just a little punch drunk. We had to put you to sleep. Your voice changes every time. Like,
I have a hard time remembering it.
Oh, look at Tony.
I'll ask him, well, first off, why'd you kill everybody?
Okay. You ask him that, and he's like, I only killed whoever deserved it. I'm the manager here.
What about your wife? Did you give her away too?
No, I haven't seen my wife. I haven't seen my wife since before I saw the Terror from the Stars.
Terror from the Stars, where'd you see that? Is that at the church?
Well, the Terror from the Stars, you don't see it, it sees you.
Did it see you from the church then?
No.
Or was that something else with Deputy Alexander? Is that where you saw it or it saw you?
No, it sees me everywhere.
How do you talk to it? How does it get in contact with you?
Oh, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. And then he's starting to get super agitated. He's like, you don't want to do it. You don't want to do it.
All right. So
don't ever touch the great mind. And now he's starting to bash his head on the wall.
All right.
The nearest hard surface. He's just bashing his head over and over.
Time to stop him from doing that. If there's any killing to be done, I'll be the one that does it.
When did all this start? When did you first encounter this great mind or great eye?
So yeah, now you're not getting any more information out of him at this point. He doesn't even register that you're there. He's just continuing to scream about the great mind and the terror from the stars. Hey, Every now and again, he'll say, but I'm the manager here. But that's the only thing he says besides the great mind or the terror from the stars or the eye in the sky. He uses those terms, but you're not getting any more information out of him.
Hey, Rob, can you go get a pitcher and just get some ice water, full ice water?
Sure thing, Mr. Speets.
Thank you. Let him go on about that till Rob gets back, and is when he comes back in, throw that in his face, see if it can snap him out of it.
Thought we were going to waterboard him.
that can come later.
Trying to shock him out of it. Turn on the grill.
Yeah. this was idea one of plenty here.
Now you're cooking with gas, Robbie. I think you got a knack for this, Mr. Oh, I don't want to kill no one.
The grill is for after we start taking fingers.
I don't care how tough you are, holding your face to a grill is going to affect you. It affected me, now it's affecting you.
I like how it seems like we're disappointed that we didn't eat human this morning, so we're going to ensure that human gets cooked in this kitchen today.
But does that snap him out at all?
No.
A chef is the perfect person to cook. Because they can inform you on how to make themselves taste better.
No, it's true.
This is genius.
All right.
Yeah.
We had this conversation
before. I feel like I read a book about that.
So, sorry, John.
No, your water didn't work. Not like closed fist hit him, just like slap him.
Yeah.
Really hard. I don't know if you want to roll for that.
Sense slap.
Yeah, just knock sense back into him.
Convey sense.
No, we don't need a roll for it. But yeah, you can slap him a bunch, but it seems like he doesn't even register it. And he just keeps babbling about the eye in the sky.
Hey, Mr. Spates, once they start talking this way, it seems like that's all there is. I don't have any ideas with this.
You want to put him back to sleep, Robbie?
No, I didn't know what to do from here. What should we do?
Well, maybe that might work as, reset him a little bit.
You know, we
can give it a shot.
You only got so many of those in you, though.
Yeah. Your counter. It runs down to zero. That's it. But
you're a vegetable. Not me, though. I got a hard noggin.
I can't even think straight. it's not like we can call the cops or anything around here, but that gives me an idea. What if we just grab some kid and send him up to the station and say there's been some trouble here and see how Alexander handles it.
That's a plan there, Robbie, but I don't trust most of the children in this town.
Yeah, I don't know if I trust much of anybody in the town here.
Pretty sure that nice little family near where you work murdered the father of the house, probably dissecting him.
Oh, the one with the twins? Yes.
Yeah.
I knew that even before it was weird, though.
Although,
so I see twins.
We're going off the impression that Alexander doesn't know that we know what's going on so far, that all this stuff is happening. As I've been, seems like a bother to him by bringing this stuff to light, as maybe we could still use that. And I go down and tell him that, hey, I was out, eating some breakfast or some lunch, and there's some stuff up at Elmer's that he should go take a look at, and we try and take him from there.
Yeah, maybe Maybe he decides to run the body out to Freddy's himself if he hasn't cottoned on to what's going on yet.
Well, I would
get
think,
him nice and isolated.
Yeah, I would think that he'd at least come take a look at it. He's always showed up at all these other places.
That's true.
You know, Tunia's house with the killing that
bring,
guy, the shootout.
Bring him here and we jump him.
Yeah.
That could work.
Like the way you think. All right, Tony, be careful. He's quick on that trigger.
Yeah, as hey, is there
Alexander?
It, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying he's going to shoot you as soon as you walk into the station.
Oh, just bam! Oh, I mean, is so? Is there a is there like an overcoat or anything like that that I can find in here that's somewhat of a fit?
Yeah, you can find probably his coat.
Okay, yeah, I'll toss that on. Over my clothes, try and hide up as much of the blood and, you know, cut as I can, and then head over to the police station, and we will see what we see.
Okay. Who's all going?
I think it's just Tony.
Just me. Yep.
All right.
Unless you want Robbie to go with you or me.
No, I think it'd be better to have you guys waiting. As that way we can get the jump on him as one from behind and hopefully two to the sides here.
All right. Good luck, Tony.
Thank you.
Okay.
I think I'll put the chef in the freezer.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's not like a freezer. It's like cold storage, but not like the Shining.
Refrigeration, right?
Yeah.
Not like a big walk-in freezer.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't want to suffocate him or freeze him, but I do need to put him somewhere where he's more manageable. Storage closet?
Yeah. I mean, you could put him in there or the office or, you know, that's probably it that he'll fit in here.
Okay. Yeah. We'll put him in a storage closet. Office might have, unless the, no, storage closet. Sorry.
Okay. And then, off Tony goes to the police station and, let's see, that's 3 blocks away, so it doesn't take you very long to get there. And when you get there, you notice that there's not any cars parked outside, but it is Sunday, so there's generally not going to be a lot of people at work anyway. But when you walk up to the door, you can see that there's like a, I don't know, like a secretary working in there, but nobody else that you can see, so...
Almost like dispatch.
Yeah, I'll go in and introduce myself and ask her if Deputy Alexander is around or if it's possible to have him come to the station. Very serious matter that I need to his attention on.
Deputy Alexander is not in the office today, but I could take a message for you.
Is there a chance that you could get the message to him today, even though he's not here right now?
Has a crime been committed?
Well, and that's what I need him, I would like him to determine, as I think there's something that I'd seen.
Oh, well, here. And she pulls out like some paper and she's like, tell me what you've seen and I'll write it down and give the message to him.
All right.
Oh, waitress's head.
Yeah, I'll make it. I don't know. As I don't know if I want to go straight with the murder because I don't want other people to come too. I believe he's the manager of Elmer's Steakhouse is physically harming his employees.
Oh dear, that is serious. Okay, and what makes you think that
he? I watched him. I was in there. I was a patron, and I watched him severely hurt his waitress.
Oh dear. Okay. And how did he hurt her?
He hit her with something.
Mm. Well, was she being lazy?
No, she was. She was good. She came and took my order, and she brought the food out, nice and hot, and very good meal. As I don't think that she deserved that.
Mm. Okay. Well, I will get this message to Deputy Alexander, and I'm sure he will want to go speak with this waitress and see what's going on out there.
Yeah, she should still be there now.
Oh, okay. So he didn't hurt her bad enough for her to leave work.
Well, and...
Don't think she's ever leaving work.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if she's okay to leave or not. Because I'm not a medical professional.
Right. Okay. And what was your name, sir?
My name is Tony Spates. As I've helped Deputy Alexander out just a few days ago in the matter of disappearance from town.
Hmm. Okay, I will get this message to Deputy Alexander right away. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time, and I'll head back. Yeah, I'll head back like out towards the front, and I guess go back to Elmer's and let him know that he may be coming. He wasn't there, but we can see if he shows up at least in the next couple hours here. I can kind of be a lookout from the outside as if I'm there waiting for him to.
Okay.
So that's my plan at least.
All right. It's not like we have too much else to do till nightfall anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. I'll go check the bar while we're waiting. Is it actual bar or is it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I've made up some more coffee as well if you want some of that. I'll just be sitting there with my brass knuckles ready to go, like trying to find some place to situate myself, but I'm not a hider, so I'm like, put okay. A lamp in front of me.
Yeah, so you guys wait there then, and then one thing that strikes you is that as the day wears on, nobody else shows up.
Right. Does anybody even walk up to the front? Because I know we flipped the sign around, but no other.
Yeah, no. Which is kind of strange because it's a popular restaurant,
but
nobody shows up at least till like on through about 4 o'clock. No, nobody's happened by.
Hmm.
I kind of have a hunch that this little incident is par for course. Probably the people of the town know what's going on some level anyway.
That sounds like a crazy conspiracy, mister.
On any other day, sure.
But Tony... You're standing like outside?
Yeah, as I'll be like standing out there, yeah, you know, again just kind of waiting, right? As,
okay.
And if he comes up, it'll be you know, I think the Lord that your secretary or the dispatch got a hold of you as I came back here and waited so that I could tell you what's going on.
All right. So yeah, you're out there and you don't even see a lot of traffic on Main Street. But at about 4, you do see a car approaching, a police car approaching from the west side of town. And none of the traffic in town moves very fast, but this car seems to be moving extra slow as it approaches from a couple blocks away.
Doing that cop cruise?
Yeah. But when it pulls up in front of Elmer's Steakhouse, and the driver steps out. It is a police officer, but it's not Deputy Alexander. This is a young man, you figure probably about 25, with a, you know, nice, sharp, clean uniform on. And you haven't seen this person before, but he steps out and comes up and says, "We got word that there might have been some disturbance here."
Yes. That's what it seems like. But yes, I had made a report at the station. I was hoping that Deputy Alexander would come. I've got some familiarity with him, but I've not met you yet, sir. And I'll extend my hand and say, "My name is Tony Spates."
Deputy Hollis, he says as he shakes your hand.
This is Deputy Hollis. Says, good to meet you.
Deputy Alexander is otherwise occupied at the moment, but I should be able to help you here. So there's some report of the manager here being abusive to his employees?
Yes, sir. As I came in here for a meal, and it was a fine meal. It was a fine young lady that took my order and brought me my food, and I'm not sure exactly what the argument was about, but he ended up hitting her with something, and I can show you, and I'll start for the door.
Okay.
And as we're coming in, as I'll say, yeah, as it, I appreciate your quick response, Deputy Hollis.
Oh, you're going to say that out loud so they hear you?
Yeah, so they hopefully they'll know it's not Alexander, but it is a deputy.
Once these guns are loaded, they don't stop for nothing.
I mean, at this point, I think that it getting like in my mind, taking out his backup is probably a good thing for us. So, like the chief, this deputy, any other deputies or anybody that we can come across.
Yeah, well, I don't
I'm
see
not
you,
sure. Yeah, I don't know if this guy's involved, but I know the other two with the bank were involved. Watched them have a shootout in the house.
Okay. Well, we'll have to stop there for today. Yeah. That's where we'll pick it up.
Thank you.
Next time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, Brandon. That was a lot of fun. Good old.
I'm just picturing. I can't remember which game it was.
This has been a Death Watch production. Thank you for listening.